This week's parsha, parsha's Nasa, we read about the Nazir. And the question is, who is this Nazir? Perek Vav in Bamidbar begins talking about the Nazir. And the halachos of the Nazir, so first of all, in the first Pesach Beis, the Torah says, Daber al b'nei Yisrael v'yomar ta'alehem, Isha v'isha ki afu indor neder Nazir l'hazir l'Hashem. So in not well-known piece of information, as the Pasuk says explicitly, that a woman can also be a Nazir. We often think of Shimshon, Shmuel, other famous Nazirim as men. But the Torah says explicitly that a woman can be Nazirah as well. So what does a Nazir entail? What halachos are there that pertain to the Nazir? So the Torah says, Miyayin v'sheicha yazir, chomet yayin v'chomet sheichar lo yishteh. So the first prohibition is that a Nazir is not allowed to drink any wine, no grape products, nothing that comes from grapes. The next halacha the Torah says in Pasuk Hey, Kol Yemei Neder Nizro Tar Lo Yavor Arosho. He's not allowed to cut his hair. His hair has to grow long. And only Ad Melot HaYomim Asher Yazir, whatever the time of that the person has chosen to accept, for which to accept the Nazir, so when that time is complete, then the person cuts off all of his hair. And in Pasuk Vav, Koyme Haziro Lashem, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavo. He's not allowed to become Tame, he's not allowed to become impure, he's not allowed to touch a dead body. Even relatives, Lo Aviv, Limo, Le Achiv, Lo Achaso, Lo Yitama, Lo Hem, Bemosan. Even if a close relative dies during that period of Naziros, whatever it is, the Stam Naziros, if he doesn't elaborate, doesn't specify a period of time, is 30 days. So for that 30-day period, he's not allowed to drink wine, he's not allowed to have any grape products, he's not allowed to cut his hair, and also not allowed to become tamei. And then he goes through a process. If he becomes tamei, so there are certain korbanos that he has to bring, and if he becomes tamei, he has to start the process again, and if he becomes tar, when he becomes tar and the process is complete, there are another series of korbanos that he has to bring. So the question is this experience of Naziros, accepting the Naziros, is that considered to be a positive, or is it considered to be a negative? Is this something that a person should want to do, something that a person should embark on, this journey of being a Nazir, or is it something that the Torah frowns upon? The other question, which we'll deal with hopefully in the same context, is the juxtaposition of the parshios. Immediately prior to discussing the Nazir, the Torah told us about the Sota, the wayward wife, who was warned in front of Edim, in front of witnesses by her husband, not to be alone with a particular man, and she went ahead and again, even with the knowledge of witnesses, was with this man alone again, and then the entire process of bringing her to the Beis HaMikdash, and using this special Mayim HaMa'arim, the special bitter water, magically, but the Torah prescribes a way for which that the Hashem through a nace clarifies whether the person actually was guilty or whether the person was innocent, and then she's either punished or she gets the bracha of having a child. So what's the connection between this parsha of Sota and the parsha which immediately follows the parsha of Nazir? The other questions maybe we'll add as we go along. And then I guess the basic question is, what does the word Nazir mean? We use it, again, referring to this person who has accepted upon himself these prohibitions, but what's the root of the word? What does the word itself connote? So I guess that's the most fundamental question. So what does the word Nazir mean? So Rashi, in Pasuk Beis, at the beginning of the parsha, when it says the person has accepted this neder, it says, Neder Nazir, Ein Nazira b'chomakom ela prisha. That the word Nazir or Nazira, that root means to separate oneself. So since this person has separated himself from wine, he's considered to be a Nazir, and that's the root of the Nazir. So you would think, and we'll have to see if this in fact is true or not, that seems to indicate the essence of what this person is. The definition of the Nazir seems to be a person who is abstaining, the person who accepted upon himself to abstain from wine and from these other prohibitions. And the Ibn Ezra says similarly that he is Yafrish, he's separating himself. Kirova olam hochem achar ta'avasam. Most people follow their desires, follow what they want to do. And that's the derech, that's the path that they take. And this person has chosen to try and overcome that, and he's chosen to separate himself. Now Rashi addresses the question as to why the parasha of Nazir immediately follows the parasha of the Sota. Quoting from the Gemara, Rashi says that the reason is in the beginning of Pasuk Beis, Lama Nismecha Parshas Nazir the Parshas Sota. Why is there a juxtaposition of the parasha of Nazir and the parasha of the Sota? Lomar the Chodesh teaches you Shekol Haroa Sota Bechilkula, that anybody who sees the Sota in this terrible state that she's in at the time when she's being checked in the Beis Hamikdash with this special water, Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin Shehu Mevi L'Deiniyav. So a person that sees this should separate himself from wine, because again she's being accused of adultery, and since oftentimes the wine, the alcohol, will have played a role in her adultery. So a person who sees this will separate himself from wine, not to end up with the same fate as the person, as this woman who is the Sota. And as an aside, it seems a little bit difficult, because you would think that the one person who wouldn't need to take a Nazirus, who wouldn't need to take extra measures to separate himself from wine because of what they saw when the Sota went through this whole experience, is the person who saw it. If the person saw how terrible it was, he saw this woman there in such a terrible state of affairs, so that in and of itself would be enough to teach the person that he needs to separate himself from the wine. Why does this person who actually saw what happened, why does he need to take the extra measures of taking a special nether of this vow of Nazirus in order to separate himself from wine? I think there are two possible answers. The first speaks a little bit to our inability to see our own faults. And sometimes when we see the situation, not always to incorporate right away the serious impact that it has on us as well. It's kind of just to miss the boat. The mashal to illustrate this point is there's a father who, you know, every night his son would have to go out on the street, and he would be in a drunken stupor, rolling in the streets, and he would have to collect him and bring him back to the house. And he was trying to fix the situation. He didn't want his father to be in such a state, but he needed a way to explain to his father and to make him realize what happens to him, what he looks like when he's experiencing this and when he's on the street rolling around in his drunken stupor. And so he decides, so one night he goes together with his father, and tries to find somebody else who's in a terribly drunk state, and his father should see what it looks like, what he looks like, and hopefully when he sees that, he'll realize what the father himself looks like in that same situation, and he'll realize to keep away from the alcohol. So they go, and they find somebody more drunk than they've ever seen anybody before. And the father is amazed, he can't believe what this person is doing, and noisy, rolling, everything, whatever you could possibly imagine that a drunk person is doing, this person is doing. And the father walks over to him, and he's looking at him, and then he looks at him and he says, "Where'd you get that? Where can I get some of that?" Right, just completely missing the picture. The lesson that he was supposed to be learning, he just completely missed the boat. So here also, the fact that the person sees the Sota Bikukula doesn't always have that ability to resonate with the person, and therefore the Torah says, and the person tries to remind the person that there are steps that should be taken. But I think perhaps the next step of that, which is that sometimes that seeing something, and as terrible as it might be, it leaves a certain imprint on the person, and it gives the person, whether consciously or subconsciously, the realization that, you know, it's possible to be chote, and it's possible to do things wrong. And yes, there are consequences to it, but the notion that there is a possibility of experiencing this, and there is a possibility of sinning to Hashem, makes the person susceptible to the same thing. Again, the person's not going to be consciously realizing that they want to get into such a situation, but the person realizing that the option exists, sometimes the experiences that we have unfortunately broaden our options, and even if it's something that we would not have had any interest in before, having seen this, you know, one day down the line, it may be something that that has an effect on us. And that's why the Baal Shem Tov, I think, takes it a step further. He says that the fact that a person sees such a situation is not coincidental. The fact that Hashem made it, that a person would see the sota in such a situation, is because that experience needs to talk to the person. There's something about the person that needs to be fixed in the same light, and therefore Hashem made it that the person needs to be in the situation and therefore needs to respond. Whatever the message might be, the Torah says that what's the Nazir? The Nazir is the person, and the reason that the Torah juxtaposes the two parshios is the Nazir is the person who sees what's going on, and he takes that step. He sees the terrible situation that the sota was in because of the wine that she drank, and now he takes a vow to separate himself from the wine.
Is there any sort of sense that they committed
a sin? Excellent. So you would think, especially with this introduction, that it's a good thing and it's a positive. But if you look, the Torah says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, so the Torah in this particular Pasuk is actually talking about a case where the Nazir was traveling along and unbeknownst to him, somebody drops dead basically on top of him and he becomes Tameh. He didn't want to become Tameh, he didn't do anything, but he was an onus. There was nothing that he could do. It was involuntary. So, it seems to be that he didn't do anything wrong in terms of a technical chait, but in terms of his Nazirus, it undermines his Nazirus, and he needs to begin the Nazirus again, and there are certain korbanos that he has to bring just because he became Tameh. So the Torah says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, V'asa Kohen. Brings two birds. He brings them to the Beit HaMikdash. One of the birds is brought as a chatas, as a sin offering, and one of them is brought as an ola, as a pure elevation offering, being burnt completely on the Mizbeach. Ve'chiper alav, and it atones for him. May Asher chata al hanefesh, from that which he sinned. So the question is, what was his sin? What sin did the Nazir do? So you might have said the sin was the fact that he became Tameh, but it's very difficult to say that was the sin. Again, it was against his will. He didn't do anything to even put himself into, excuse me, such a situation. So if you look at Rashi says, Mashachot al-Nefesh, so he quotes from the Sifrei, Shelo Nizar Mitumas Hameis, that is the reason, that the fact that he wasn't extra careful, maybe there was some extra measure he could have done, that's the reason that he has to bring the Chatos. But then he quotes from the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar HaKaparo Mereshet Tzir Atzmo Min Hayayin. What was his sin? His sin was that he made it difficult for himself, he afflicted himself by separating himself from drinking wine. So it certainly at least begins to appear that maybe what the Nazir is doing was not 100% correct. The fact that he decided to take this nezer, that he took this vow of Nazirus, and now he was not allowed to drink the wine, is in fact a reason for him to bring a korban chatas. And it's not limited to the Sifra and to Rashi, but the Rambam seems to say the same thing as well. He says, Shema Yomar Ha'adam Ho'a Va'akinna Va'ataiva Va'akava V'kayote B'mderech Ra, since Taiva, since following one's desires is such a terrible trait, Motina Sa'adam Min Ha'olam, and they remove a person from the world, as the Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, I'm going to move all the way to the side. I'm going to become, you know, completely separate from any pleasures of this world. I won't eat meat, and I won't drink any wine. I won't get married. I won't live in a nice home. I won't wear nice clothing. And then he says, "Kigon kahane akum," just like the priests of the goyim, that they live a completely separate life. This is a terrible path that one should take, and it's forbidden to do this. And how does he know that it's forbidden? The person who follows this path is considered to be a sinner. Because it says by the Nazir, to keep paragav me'asher chatal ha'nefesh. That it says that he has to seek atonement for having sinned. So again, the same idea that it seems to be that the Nazir in fact did sin by accepting upon himself the Nazirah. So we need to understand how we view that in context, certainly from the fact that the Torah, the Chazal told us the reason that the Parsha of Nazir was next to the Parsha of Sota was in order that the person should see what happened to the Sota and therefore separate himself from the wine. So why is he being not punished, but why is it considered to be a sin that he separated himself from the wine? That was what he was supposed to do. That was the appropriate reaction, was seeing the terrible situation that she was in because of the wine and reacting to it and separating himself from it. So what did he do wrong? But there are other mefarshim that try to put it in a positive light. Okay, we're going to get there. We're going to get there soon, hopefully. If I don't, remind me. So hopefully we'll get there soon. Now, there are other mefarshim that seem to try and put the Nazir in a little bit more of a positive light. And to understand the pasuk, the Kliyakar says that why does the pasuk say that there was a chait here? So the Torah says that the Kliyakar says it's in context of the particular parsha in which it was mentioned, that the chatas is mentioned here when it came to the person who became tameh by accident. So the Kliyakar says, basically asking, how can we consider it to be a chote? He says, Nireh shegam Rabbi Elazar moder shebekol yomei hemshech nazirato hu nikra kodesh kadosh v'lo chote. Everybody will agree that during the time of his actual nazirus, he's considered to be a kadosh, a holy person, not a chote. Nazir Elokim, it's considered to be the language the Torah uses, the Nazir of Hashem. It's considered to be, seemingly, a very high level. Amnam, Nitma, Bemes. But if it turns out that he becomes Tamei and becomes impure because he touches the Mace, even though he didn't intend for that to happen, but there the halachic consequence is, Shadino, Sheyomim Harishonim Yiplu, then the original days, if let's say he became Tamei, a dead body fell on top of him on day 20 of his Naziros. So now those first 19 days are basically rendered meaningless. As much as he was trying at the time to be part of this Nazir process, he only accepted it upon himself 30 days. He has to start that count of 30 days again from the beginning. So now, since the first days don't count, Igloi Milsa, so it comes out retroactively, Shayyamim Harishonim, Bohayub L'chal HaNaziros, that those first days were not considered to be Naziros. Yes, he was trying. He certainly was trying. But technically, is it considered to be in a zero during that time? No, they don't count for anything. And then it comes out that there was no reason that he needed to afflict himself from wine during that time period. Obviously, this is only in retrospect. But at least in trying, what he's clearly bothered by is how can it be that he's considered to be a chote? He seems to be doing something special, something which is the Torah itself is going to describe as Nezer Elokav Arosho. It's as if he's wearing the crown of Hashem on his head. It seems to be something very special. So how can it be a chait? So again, grappling with that, he says an answer which seems to be a little bit difficult, but trying to explain that the fact that the time period doesn't count is the reason that it's considered to be a chait. V'alkenu nekra chote alosam hayom harishonim. Because there he had no reason, there was no kedusha, there was no reason that he needed to afflict himself. No, a person can accept. So that the Gemara discusses it. Basically, a person can more or less accept any period they want. If the person doesn't say how long they want it, so the Gemara learns out that it means 30 days. So if a person just says, Harini Nazir, I want to become a Nazir. So then if he didn't say, I want to be a Nazir for a year, or I want to be a Nazir for 5 years, or for 5 months, then he becomes a Nazir for 30 days. The Gemara has drushes to learn that out.
You're saying that if he...
Last the Gemara discussed that, I don't remember how...
He said it was 90 days, and those 90 days were dated. Meaning he can't do another 10, or what? Meaning
so it depends. So that's what we're going to see shortly. So it depends what happens to him. If he drinks wine, then the days still count. He just has to continue from there forward.
It has to be a set period of time.
Yes. The question is whether it has to be set from the beginning. Either it's set as a default of 30 days, or he has to set the amount when he accepts upon himself in his years.
He can stand doing it, and whenever I start stopping, I'll stop.
No, if he accepts upon himself just doing it, then I think he can say that it's going to depend on certain events that come later. I think the Mishnah has such cases in Nazir. But that's basically what most of Mizrachas Nazir is figuring out all these different cases. If a person accepts upon himself Nazirus in different ways, or doesn't elaborate, or says...
Meaning if someone can go above and beyond, why does it have to be so restricted? I mean, why can't they just, you know, give them the fact
that
you're taking upon yourself.
So hopefully that point is going to be the key to understanding the entire parasha. Excellent. So... So that's the question. On the one hand, we seem to have Makoros, we seem to have sources that indicate, and this is what we probably would have thought going into the parasha also, that the Nazirus is a good thing, Nazirus is a positive, and the person should be credited and lauded for the fact that he embarked on this journey of Nazirus. But on the other hand, the simple reading of the Psukim is that there was a chait, and Rabbi Lazar in the Gemara clearly says that the person sinned. So which is it? So what's going on with this Nazir? So in order to try and understand perhaps what the Nazir is about and resolve this contradiction, I want to look at a story in the Gemara in Nedarim on Daf Tes. The Gemara says, Amar Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik said, Miyamai lo achalti asham Nazir tamei elo echad. In all my days, I only ate from the asham, one of the korbanos, that the Nazir who became Tameh has to offer. I only ate from one person's Asham Nazir Tameh. From one Nazir who became Tameh, the Korban Asham that he brought only one time, I ate from it. Pam Achas, what happened? Ba Adam Echad Nazir Min Hadarim. There was a certain Nazir who came from the south. Viroishiv Shu Yafei Naim, that he had beautiful eyes. Bitovroi, and a beautiful appearance. Ufusosa, Sidurusos, Tatalum, and beautiful, beautiful long hair. Amartilo, so I said to him, Bini, my son, Mara Isa Lahashte Zasarich Zanoa. Why would you want to cut your beautiful hair? It's so nice. Why? What were you thinking when you accepted upon yourself the Nazirus, which is going to require that at the end of the period, you're going to have to cut off the hair? Amarli, so he said to me, Roa Hayisi La'aba V'iri. I was a shepherd for my father in my city. Halachti l'malos mayim min hamayon, and I went to draw water out of the spring. V'nitzakalti b'bavoa sheli, and I saw my reflection in the water. U'pachaz ala yitzri, and the yetzer hara overcame me. U'bikesh l'tordani min ha'olam, and it wanted to take me out of this world. I was completely overwhelmed with my appearance, and I realized how beautiful I was. And the yetzer hara was basically telling me, with this appearance, you could do anything you want. Go, do. What are you bound by? Go do whatever you want to do. Amartilo, and I said to the Eitzahara, Russia. I said to himself also, Russia, what are you thinking? Lama Tomis God Ba'olam Shena Shachas. He said it to himself. Why are you being a Balgaiva? Why are you being so haughty in a world that doesn't belong to you? B'mishu asid lios rima b'tzaleya, about your appearance, which is going to end up being in the ground, which is going to be filled with worms. Ha'avoda, and he accepted upon himself she'agal chachol ha'shamayim, that he's going to cut off his hair for the sake of heaven. Miyaz, so Shimon HaTzadik continues, immediately amadati, I stood up. Binashakti Varosho, I kissed him on his head. Amartilo, and I said to him, Bini, Kamocha Yirbu Nozre Nazirus Bi Yisrael. My son, there should be many more Nazirum in Bnei Yisrael like you. Alecha Kasav Omer is about you that the Torah said, Ish Kiyafli Lindor Neder Nazir Lahazir Lashem. The pasuk which describes accepting upon oneself the Nazirus was said about you. So why didn't Shimon HaTzadik usually eat from the korban of a Nazir who became Tameh? And what was different about this particular person that suddenly he changed his hanhaga, he changed his custom, and he ate from his korban of, even though he was a Nazir who accidentally had become Tameh? So the Gemara basically explains that Shimon, the reason Shimon HaTzadik never ate from the korban of a Nazir who became Tameh was because he was afraid. Again, Nazirus is basically like a form of a neder, it's a form of a vow. And we know there's a concept of Hataras Adarim, of undoing a person's vow. A person goes to the Chacham and a person goes through the appropriate procedures. A person can basically uproot the neder, the vow, as if it never existed. So Shimon HaTzadik was afraid that if somebody became Tameh, and now he loses, let's say he accepted upon himself Nazirus for a year. 3 days before the year is up, a dead body falls on him and becomes Tameh. He loses the entire year. He has to start again an entire another year. So now he might regret the fact that he even accepted upon himself the Nazirus to begin with. He doesn't want to be doing this for another year. So he says that, so he was afraid that basically the person would try to undo the neder, and then the korban that he would be bringing, it would turn out, did not really need to be bringing, because again, the way that Hataras Adarim works is that it uproots the vow as if it never took place. So now when he had to bring the korban, there was no reason for the korban. So it's basically what the Gemara refers to as chulin ba'azara. It's like bringing a regular animal, which has no kedusha, into the Beit HaMikdash. So the Rishonim discussed whether this is a real problem, how far-fetched was this concern, but that was basically his concern, was that the Nazir, who becomes Tameh, would basically try and undo his Naziros because he'd be so frustrated with the fact that he has to begin from scratch again. But this person, when he saw that this person was so l'shem shamayim, that the reason that he accepted upon himself was the Naziros, was completely out of the realization that he needed to restructure his life, he needed to find a new path because the Yetzer Hara had completely overwhelmed him. With this person, this part of the Gemara doesn't say, but I think this is what the Gemara means, what Shimon HaTzadik meant. With this person, he had no reason to be concerned. And it's interesting, and it's about this, and the Gemara, Shimon HaTzadik said, B'ni kamocha yirvu nozri nazir fisto, and about you the Torah was talking about. What Shimon HaTzadik seems to be saying was what the parsha of Nazirus was written for, was for a person to realize the path that he's taking, that he's taking right now, or the path on which he's going to be taking is the wrong one, and the Nazirus is an opportunity to try and take a step back, and to try and reorient oneself, and to try and take a more appropriate path. And I think this is the same idea that we saw from the connection between the parsha of Sota and the parsha of Nazir. That there also, the person saw what happened to the Sota of Bikilkula, saw the situation that the Sota was in, realized the potential damage that wine can have, and the person realized, okay, I need to separate myself from this. I need to reorient myself, I need to choose a new path. And that's a Shimon HaTzadik. That's what I want. Kamocha yirbu nozer nazirus b'yisrael. If there have to be more nazirim, they should be like this. It shouldn't be somebody who's doing it because they want to separate themselves. It should be somebody who realizes that he's in a bad situation right now, and he needs to change that situation. And I think you see this idea in a contradiction in the Rambam as well. The Rambam that we saw earlier in Hilchos Deos again said a person shouldn't say that because he knows that taiva, that following one's desires is not the appropriate path to take, so he's going to decide to completely separate himself the same way that the Kohanei Akum, that the priests of the Goyim separate themselves. And the Rambam said, Gamza derech ra'hi v'asher lelechpa. And he calls him a chote, again learning out from the parasha of Naziros. However, so that seems to indicate that the Nazirus is a negative and is not appropriate. But the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Nedarim says in Perek Yigimel, Halacha Chaf Yimel, Misha Nadar Nedarim, a person who accepts upon himself vows, Kedei Lechonein Daisov Deyosov Ulesakein Ma'asov, in order to straighten out his outlook, his Ashkafos, or to fix his deeds, Harei Zeh Zorizu Meshuva. He's a person who should be praised. Ketzar ki go misha yizolel v'asar lav abasar shana ushtayin. Somebody who indulges a lot in eating meat and he takes a neder, a vow, not to eat meat for 1 or 2 years. Or Misha Yashoga Biyayin, somebody who's an alcoholic, he's drinking a lot of wine. He separates himself by taking a neder, by taking a vow, and he separates himself from the wine for a long period of time. So he says about this person, Kulan derech avodah Hashem heim. And this is considered to be a path of worshipping Hashem, an appropriate path for one to take. And it's about these nedarim that the Chachamim said, nedarim siyag lapishus. That nedarim are a boundary to help for precious, to help for separating oneself. And I think that the idea that emerges from all of these sources is that the nazir is not an ideal, but rather the nazir is a tool. That the focus of the chait of the nazir is that he has to remove himself from the world. Yet our goal, the way that God created the world, is for us to be able to live a life of Kedusha within the world. He wants us to be part of the world. We're not supposed to separate ourselves from the world. We're supposed to be part of the world, but we're supposed to infuse that world with Kedusha. We're supposed to take the Torah, we're supposed to take the mitzvot, and we're supposed to infuse everything that we're doing in the world with that sense of Kedusha. We're supposed to be able to drink wine for the purpose of a mitzvah. Almost every mitzvah that we have comes associated with a kos shel bracha, with a cup of wine. Wine is supposed to help us achieve a certain level of simcha. Yom Tov, we're supposed to be mesameach bebasar v'yayin, with meat and with wine. But again, it has to be done in an appropriate manner. So the nazir who was mitzair atzmo min hayayin, the nazir who afflicted himself, who separated himself from the yayin, he suffered, and he shouldn't have suffered. He shouldn't have had to separate himself from the wine, but he should have been able to use it responsibly. Should the nazir have accepted upon himself the naziros? Yeah, if he saw the sota v'kilkula, if he saw a situation from which he was afraid he would come to the point where he would not be able to control the effects of the wine, he would not be able to stop himself from drinking too much wine. If he was that child who was going out with Shimon HaTzadik, who was the shepherd, and he saw his beautiful features, and he felt the Yetzer Hara overwhelming him, and he said, there's no way that I'm going to be able to attack the Yetzer Hara head on and defeat the Yetzer Hara. The tool that he needs to use at that time, in that situation, when he has that realization, is the tool of the Nazir. He needs to separate himself from the world for that period of time. It shouldn't be forever, because that's not an ideal way to live. But he should separate himself from the world for a certain period of time and use that time to bring himself back to the point at which he can then live in the world the way one should be living in the world. And that's perhaps what the Rambam meant also. In terms of choosing a path for life in Hilchos Deos, when he's describing how one should live, so the path always, as the Rambam says, is the middle of the road, not to be on any of the extremes. But says the Rambam in Hilchos Nedarim, when the Chazal said that one sometimes needs to be Porish, one sometimes needs to separate himself, if a person saw, as the Rambam indicated, that he was a glutton when it came to eating meat, that he was always drinking wine, a person realized that in that situation, I need to separate myself, I need to fix the problem. The Nedarim are a tool. Naziros is also such a tool. And I think perhaps that's why, if you look, it's very interesting, at the end, towards the end of this Parsha of Naziros, at the end of Perek Vav, in Pasuk Chav, so it's describing the end of the process of the Kohen bringing the Korbanos of the Nazir, and it says, "Ve'inif osam haKohen tnufas neHashem kodesh shul haKohen." So the Kohen waves it from Pasuk Chaf. The Kohen waves it in front of Hashem as part of the Korban al Chazeh tnufa v'ashokat shuma. Again, those are the details of the Korban. V'achar yishteh haNazir yain, and then the Nazir can drink the wine. And it seems to be a little bit superfluous if the process of the Nazirus is over. So why do you need to tell him to go drink wine? And why does it still call him a Nazir? He's not a Nazir anymore. So I think perhaps what the Torah is indicating is that the goal of the process of the Nazirus, the entire goal of going through this, was Ba'achar Yishtayayin. was not that he should never drink wine again, that he should separate himself completely for the rest of his life. It's that he should go through the process of Nazirus, and now he should be able, the next day, be able to drink that wine. He should be able to drink the wine responsibly. He should be able to infuse the drinking of the wine with a sense of Kedushas, use it for Simcha appropriately. And that's this balance that the Nazir tries to accomplish. And I think with this understanding, we can understand some of the details of the halachos of the Nazir a little bit better as well. So again, there were three basic halachos that apply to the Nazir. The Nazir is not allowed to drink wine or any other grape products. The Nazir cannot cut his hair, and the Nazir cannot become tamei. So it's interesting. So in terms of the first two halachos, the drinking the wine and the cutting of the hair, so those already, Chazal have shown us two cases in which that relates to this attempt by the person to try and separate himself from whatever he's experienced. It's the person who saw the effects that the wine had on the sota, that she was guilty of adultery, and the person realized, okay, I need to separate myself from the wine. So that we understand that there's a potential damage that drinking too much wine could cause. The person realizing that separates himself from the wine. When it comes to growing the hair as well, so either growing the hair itself is considered to be something which ends up looking messy, and that's why the person becomes a little bit more disgusting looking. Or as the case of the Gemara indicated, was that was to cut it off at the end. That the fact that the person in the end is going to become bald and have to cut off the hair, that also gets rid of this yetzer hara that the person had from being beautiful. So those two examples we understand. But why not tamei? Why can't he become tamei? What's the big deal? How is he going to learn this lesson of being able to infuse a life of living as part of society with a sense of Kedusha? How does the Isra, the prohibition of becoming Tamei, help for that? So there's an interesting Medrash. The Medrash says, Kol yemei haziro l'Hashem, bo'u re'ei, come see, shekol mi shemekadesh es atzmo milamata, anybody who is mekadesh himself, who tries to make himself holy from below, makdishin oso milamala, he also gets a kedusha from above. Zed the Nazir lefisha mazir es atzmo min hayayin v'noig sa'ar ba'atzmo shelo yigaleach rosho. This person who accepted upon himself the Naziros, who accepted upon himself the affliction of not drinking the wine, who accepted upon himself as a guard from leading to Aveir, he accepted upon himself not to cut his hair, and then at the end of the process to cut off his hair. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem says, Hareyu Chashuv Lefanai Kikohen Gadol. He's as important in front of me as the Kohen Gadol. Ma kohen asr l'tame l'chol ha-meisim, ach nazir asr l'tame l'chol ha-meisim. Just as the kohen is not allowed to become tame to a dead body, to a dead person, so too the nazir is not allowed to become tame to a dead person. So it's interesting. It seems to be that this prohibition of becoming tame is a very different one than the other two. The other two, as we pointed out, do relate directly to this idea that he's trying to separate himself from his worldly desires. But in fact, the iser to become, the prohibition to become tamei, has nothing to do with that. It's a bonus. It's something which Hashem sends to the person as an extra level of kedusha. And perhaps the idea behind this is that there are two approaches that one could take to this necessary period of Nazirus. So one is that once it starts, the person is hoping to get through it. The person realized, perhaps at first, this is a good idea, but as it's dragging on, it's really difficult. The person doesn't want to be involved in this. And that's perhaps what Shimon HaTzadik was concerned about also, when he wouldn't eat from the korban of a Nazir that became Tamei. Maybe the person even had the right intentions when he began, but now when he sees it so difficult and he sees he's going to have to start again, he's just trying to get through it alive, just trying to move on to the next stage of his life. And that's one approach to making it through this period of Nazirus. But the other one is basically to use it as a spiritual booster rocket. And that's what this Medrash is saying. The Medrash is saying, you do your part. You do that little bit. You had that sense that you needed, that the Yetzer Hara was strong and that you needed to do something. You needed to separate yourself, so you stopped drinking the wine. You stopped cutting your hair, and you became a little bit more disgusting looking. So now Hashem says, I'm going to make sure that if you want to use this as an opportunity for Kedusha, as an opportunity for spiritual growth, I'm going to help raise you up. And that's what I'm going to view you as a Kohen, and as such, there's going to be the prohibition of becoming Tamei. And that's the ideal perspective of what this period is supposed to be, that it's not supposed to be that the person, you know, has that initial sense that they need to do something, and then it fades away as the process goes on, but it's supposed to be a continued and elevated track, that when the person leaves, the person should be on a higher level than where they began. And Rav Hirsch points out that in fact, this is really what the essence of the Nazir is. The halacha is, again, we saw that Rashi and the Ibn Ezra, I think, mentioned that the word Nazir comes from the root of separation, that a person is separating himself. We view this person as an abstainer. He's not involved in this world. But he says it's very interesting, because when it comes to the halacha, again, there are three halachas that pertain to the Nazir. So we know that if a person becomes Tamei, the entire period that he's counted until that point falls away, and he has to start again from the beginning. But if a person drinks wine, the person continues from whatever day he was up to, and continues counting forward until he completes the time period of his Nazirus. And if a person cuts his hair, so then he loses 30 days of his Nazirus. It doesn't go back from the beginning. So if it was a 30-day Nazirus, he would lose everything. But if, let's say, it was a 90-day Nazirus, and on day 80 he would cut his hair, so he'd have to go back only 30 days. If the essence of the Nazir is the abstainer, then the halachos seem the opposite. The halachos which involve the most abstention, those are the most abstinent, those are the ones which should have the more serious consequence. Those are the ones which should result in the person losing the entire history of what he's done so far.
It's even beyond his control.
So what he says is that the Isser of Tumah is in fact the one which is most emblematic of his status as a Nazir. It's not just another restriction, but it's a result of his added Kedusha. It's not just another prohibition, but it's a direct result of the Kedusha that he's achieved. And I think it's not coincidental. Fishing out for the right word. It's not coincidental that, well, maybe we'll finish the Rav Hirsch's point first. So Rav Hirsch says, so where does the root of the word Nazir come from if he's not an abstainer? He says it comes from Pasuk Zayin. L'aviv l'imo l'achiv l'achoso lo yitama lohem b'mosam. So it delineates the people that he, even the closest relatives, he cannot become Tamei to. Ki Nezer Elokav Arosho, because he's wearing the crown of Hashem. Nezer is the crown. He says that's really the source of the root of the word Nazir. And he says, what's the Nazir about? He says, we view the Nazir as a person who's separating himself from the world. He says, that's not what the Nazir is. He says, the Nazir is somebody who wears a crown. When a king puts on a crown, it's not that the king separates himself from everybody else, but that everybody else realizes they're distant from him. He's put himself on an elevated plane, and now everybody else, by default, is pushed further away. And that's really what the Nazir is about. The Nazir is the person who's realized that the Yetzer Hara is there, and now he's willing to embark on this journey to try and imbue his life with this sense of Kedusha and to be able to and to fix up the problems and to be able to live his life afterwards the way it's supposed to do. And that, in fact, the person who's willing and trying to overcome his desires, the Kovashis Yitzro, the person who is trying to overcome and conquer his Yitzer Hara, that person is in fact on a higher level than the people around him. And I think it's not coincidental that the Torah specifically says that it's Nezer Elokav HaRosho, that he's wearing the crown of God, when it comes to the pasuk which is talking about the prohibition of becoming Tameh. Because that's the same idea. It's specifically the added Kedusha, the added holiness that he has, because he's taken this step. That's the result of that is what his crown is. That's the glory of this person, that the person is working so hard at trying to achieve these additional levels of Kedusha. So I think that the lesson of the Nazir is that the challenge of life always is to balance the Chol and the Kodesh, the mundane and the holy, and to be able to merge the two and infuse Kedusha, holiness, into the mundane. And we're not supposed to live as hermits, we're not supposed to be aloof, but we do need to live with a sense of Kedusha within the society in which we live. And the greatness of the Nazir is not that the greatness of the Nazir is that he's not looking for the separation, but it's his ability to step back, to stop his daily routine and to think, you know what, I'm not going on the right path. The path that I'm leading on is going to lead me into the hands of the Yetzer Hara. The path that I'm leading on is not the path of Kedusha. He doesn't want to separate himself, but he realizes that the path of Kedusha requires of him to separate himself, so that when he finishes the period, V'achar Yishtah HaNazir Yayin, afterwards he'll be able to drink that wine. Afterwards he'll be able to live the way a Jew is supposed to live. But it's that the real greatness of the Nazir is his ability to stop what he's doing and to think, to stop along the routine of his life, and to take that step back and to realize things aren't going right. That's really what the Nazir is about. Now, to step back and think, what's my purpose? There has to be more to life than simply following one's desires. And even if it's only for a short time, even just for 30 days, if he separates himself to achieve this goal, that's something to admire. I mean, just imagine for a second, imagine if it's a regular weekday, imagine separating yourself from your email for a day. Just one day, it's difficult. Right? We become so used to things, we become to certain things that are part of our routine. So for this person to be part of his routine, he was living a life and he was drinking the wine and he was getting haircuts and he was living a normal life. For him to be able to even take that step back, to be willing to take that separation and to take the step to try and achieve Kedusha, that's really what the Nazir is about. And hopefully the Nazir should be able to inspire us to elevate ourselves, to take breaks sometimes within our routine for reflection, to stop and to think how to make life more meaningful. And with that, hopefully, we too will have the zechus of wearing Nezer Elokav, the crown of Hashem, upon our heads.